Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. And the question was, if I don't forgive somebody, then I'm going to go to hell. And evidently, I've had other people ask me this. They are so upset with somebody for whatever it is they've done. And it can be, I've had people, major things, and people that are just picayune-ish, and it's small things. And they say, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Therefore, I'm going to hell, and I know it. They believe God. They believe the Word. Based on those words, they really believe that they are going to hell and there's no hope for them, because no matter what, they haven't been able to do it. The Greek is, looks like this. I'm just showing off because I can copy out of the book. Alpha Psi, iota. This is actually the letter O, M, and I again, iota. It's a Greek word, and it's the word to forgive. First of all, let me say it straight up front. You will not go to hell if you cannot forgive somebody. That is not your have-all, end-all. That is just a sin just like anything else is. Christ made this statement, and He was living under the Old Testament. The word that I wrote up there is the Greek word for forgive. And most people don't understand what that word actually means. It means to send away. Send away. As in, a husband divorces a wife and he sends her away. Or a wife divorces a husband, she sends him away. It means to, this is the one I like, let go. Just let it go. Disregard it. To give up a debt. If the other part of that verse is, it says, if we don't forgive, then God won't forgive us. The both verses are in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is very legalistic, very based on that. Matthew, Jesus says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, it's etc. All that kind of stuff. It comes out of Deuteronomy 19, verse 21. Thus you shall not show pity. You shall not show pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That is just really mean, isn't it? Yeah, everybody will hear and be afraid. So the idea of this comes out, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And Jesus says, you have heard it said, eye for eye. And then He gives them this other commandment that we're not to be that way, but we are to be forgiving of our enemies. It's okay that we all love each other, but we should love our enemies. And He takes it and kicks it up a notch. What they did is, we need to separate the idea between, in Old Testament, there is civil law, there is religious law. They lived in a theocracy. We live in separation of church and state, even though that's not in the Constitution. We need to understand, as church people, there is the civil law, and it does need to be enforced. You can't just let murderers and all the nasty people run loose and run free, because your society will break down. You think that's what's going on today. We have the religious side of it, and a lot of people say, well, I can't go to court and enforce the laws because my religion tells me otherwise. We need to hold both of them in tension. As a Christian, we are not to attack the people. But as a Christian also, under the civil rules, we should testify against somebody if they have done something like they committed a murder, even if it's against our family members, they commit a murder. And I know people say, well, I can't testify because I have to forgive them or I won't go to heaven. Therefore, they will let these people walk away free. But the idea is, enforce your civil law. You've got to protect other people. And yes, it is forgiven. Let it go. You are not to do this. And this is the idea that we're supposed to be going for. The Jewish people had this idea that they are entitled to vengeance. And that was what they was going for. I am going for vengeance against my enemies. So they couldn't let things go because they wanted to square all the accounts and they wanted to take vengeance on these people. Rather, were to testify and say, this is the law and it says these people should be punished and I'm telling the truth about the event that happened. But as for myself, I am going to let it go. I am not going to take vengeance myself. Now, the whole sanctuary city thing, which I've talked about in the past, that was an act of passion. Right then, right there, if you did something, manslaughter, and it wasn't premeditated, you took out and charged off. Well, you know, cause families going, they killed my brother, my sister, my wife, my kids, whatever. They killed so-and-so, and I'm going to get them. And that's just an act of emotional passion, and they would go after the person immediately. So you had to go to a sanctuary city, and then the judges would sort out whether it was premeditated or whether it was an accident and the person got killed. In the same way, God's going, I realize that there is this streak in people, and evidently the commentators all believe that the Jewish people really have this legalistic streak. I have a right to take vengeance. And by the way, that seems to be a thing that's very prominent in the Middle East even today, is there's a lot of people that are demanding the right to take vengeance. I demand my right. And so they will take vengeance on each other and blood feuds go on. And Christ is going, no, let it go. You survived. You let it go. Forgiveness means that you are saying, I will not take vengeance on a personal level. I personally will not take vengeance against that person. I will forgive that person. I will let it go. That doesn't mean that when the court comes around and says, did you see this happen? And yes. And did it happen to you? Yes, it did. Will you testify? Yes, I can. Because you're not doing it to take vengeance. You're doing it to tell the truth. And in this same way as not going after them as a thing of vengeance, you're not going to lie and cheat against them. You've let it go and you say, I'm going to do this to prevent this person from doing the same thing to other people. So we are to forgive our enemies, let it go. Mainly, letting it go will benefit ourselves. It will release us from all the turmoil. It will release us from the stress of we've got... I know people, and they are so petty. I mean, just what they consider even a slight. They will go out of their way and harbor a grudge and try to figure out some way to get that person. And it will be totally unrelated to what the person did. Passive-aggressive people do this kind of stuff. They will sit around and think, what can I do to get even? And they'll do something that passively. They don't overtly go out and attack the person, but they'll set the person up so it brings them harm, brings the other person harm. And that is the aggression. But if anything's said, they can say, oh no, not me. I've got clean hands. And all the time, they're the ones that were plotting to cause this person to have this ill. So passive aggression things going on there. You seem passive, but really you're going after them. And I've seen it. They can't let just the slightest little thing go, and it just tears them up until they feel like they've done something to get even. And I know a family of people that's that way. And it's also when we do let these things go, when a person sees that we are not out to get them anymore, it could be something that causes them to come around and change their mind about the way things are. So as we forgive, we let go. That doesn't mean we don't back up civil law. We just let this go. And it's between us and them. And we're saying, God, I am going to forego my right to take vengeance. We're going to get to that in a little bit. There is nothing in the scripture that says forgive and forget. And that's where people think this whole idea of forgiveness requires this forgetting. It doesn't say that. If somebody beat the ever-loving snot out of you and they beat you every time they saw you, let it go. Forgive them. Don't forget it. Don't let yourself get in the situation where you will be where they can beat you again. Don't forget that. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to be buddy buddies. If I was in business with somebody and they ripped me off and they cleaned out the bank account and they took everything I had and I had to declare bankruptcy because of what they did, I forgive them. Let it go. I will never go into business again with them, ever, ever, ever. I will not have them invited over to my house. There are people that I have forgiven. I harbor no ill will. I'm not out to get them. I do not want them to go to hell. I do not want them to suffer pain. I'm starting to sound like Dr. Seuss. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know, I don't, you know, want to take vengeance on them. And at the same time, I don't want to be around them. And I will say, God, I hope they get saved. I hope they repent. I hope they go to heaven. And I hope I don't see them for the first half millennium, because I don't know what I would do even up there. You know, it might be, You know, once we get to heaven, we're not going to resent the people, because we'll understand a lot. We'll understand it better by and by. So forgiveness does not require that we forget. It does not require that we become buddy, buddy, buddies with those people. God does forgive, and it says He forgets. God forgives, He forgets. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. That is really a turn of phrase. That is just a saying. It's trying to communicate, because God knows everything, okay? But the idea is, when He forgives us, He forgets the idea that He will ever take vengeance upon us for that. And as time goes on, He will never bring it up to us. He has understood it. The prosecution was against Christ. He will not bring it up to us 600 million years into the heavens day. And He goes, no. He has the emotional capability of just letting it go. Now, Proverbs 22... Verse 3, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. Once, it's just backing the idea up of, you have forgiveness, you can give it, you're prudent, he's evil. Even though you're not going to seek vengeance, you hide yourself from that person. You take precautions to keep them away from you. You get court orders against them if you have to. But, you know, you're saying, I'm not seeking their destruction. I'm just seeking to get away from them. And I will testify in court that they are bad people and they're not safe to be around. And if they can be put away, even so much the better. We have where Jesus says for us to be as wise as serpent and innocent as doves. The dove part is the forgiveness part. Let it go. Be innocent. We live at peace as much as possible. And the wise part as a serpent is that whole, but I'm still going to keep my eye on you. And that's why we're supposed to be shrewd. Just because we forgive doesn't mean that those people become trustworthy. They have not repented. That is their problem. They are not standing right with God. That is their problem. We have the innocence of Christ. There is nothing wrong with saying, God, I ask you. It's like in that Fiddler on the Roof, and they ask their Rebbe, the rabbi, is there any prayer we can say for the Tsar? And he says, yes. May the Lord bless and keep the Tsar far away from here. And in the same way, we are to pray for our enemies, because we don't want them to stay in that position of being evil, of being hateful, and us not being able to trust them and making everybody else's lives miserable, including ours. So we should pray for our enemies so this evil just doesn't continue to go on and on and on. If somebody beats you, forgive it, move on, but don't get caught alone with that person. You should testify against the murderers and the evilness that goes on so it doesn't continue. You're doing it also to help keep other people from harm. So we need to not lie. We need to testify to the truth of all this kind of stuff. Proverbs 24:29 says, do not say, thus shall I do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. There's a place in the Bible, Romans 12, actually, I can find that. Trust me on one until I find it. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so if your enemy's hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. And for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So he's going, don't drop down to their level, but don't you take vengeance on them. You let God do it. God knows the best way to even the scores. And sometimes, like I said, I know people that are so petty, they are trying to get revenge on people of things that happened 12 years ago, and it might be, well, I know this one person. Well, they didn't speak to me. Well, where were you? I was at the county fair, and they walked right by me and high-hatted me, and they didn't speak to me. I'll show them. And I'm like, how many hundred people were there? Well, they looked right at me. So? That doesn't mean that they were looking at you going, I'm going to high-hat you. You know, and they are going to try to figure out some way of getting even with that person. God says, don't be that way. You let me take the vengeance. You let me, because I really understand what exactly happened. And a lot of times we are offended and we want to get even. And he goes, the offense is something in your head. It did not happen the way you perceived it. If you would have known this person over here, what was going on in their head, you would have realized they weren't actually looking at you. They could have just got a phone call. Hi, your mother just died. And they're just standing there going, oh my. And they could be looking right at you and not recognize you. Therefore, you're trying to get even for something this person did not do. It's something you perceived. You let me settle the score. You let God take care of it. Don't rejoice. And this is the part you're going to have to trust me on, but it's in there. Do not rejoice when God does take vengeance on somebody, when God does settle the score and it's coming your way. Don't rejoice that your enemy has been cast down. Stand there and go, oh my, because but for the grace of God, you don't know who you have offended or something that you did, and God's could be going, oh yeah, I settled this score, so there I was. This person did me wrong. This is a true story. Did me wrong. And I was upset. And I said, I'm upset, God. And I don't like this. And he one day says to me, this had been going on a while, you want me to take some vengeance? I said, yes. Show no mercy? Yes. All right, I'll do it. I'm going to get them for you. Yes. But what you wish on them, I'm going to have to use the same measuring stick on you. So when I'm taking the vengeance out and I'm showing them no mercy, when I'm done, I'm going to start on you. And I said, whoa, let's stop right there. God, I know I need mercy, and I don't like the way you take vengeance because it is so good. I mean, you are so good at it. I don't want to be put in that position. So I'll tell you what, God, have mercy on that person and bring them around and let them see the error of their ways. Oh, so gently. Treat them so nice, God. And from that point on, it's always struck me, Doyle, before you start asking God, those are called imprecatory prayers where you say, and they're in Psalms, by the way, where David says, God, break my enemy's arms. Yeah, they're in there. So before you get to that point of God, take vengeance on him, stop and say, is he going to pay me back with the same measuring stick that I use? Then you start putting it in perspective of he shows them no mercy, he'll show you no mercy. If I don't let it go, he's not going to let it go. Forgive and he will forgive you. And that's the whole idea of the forgiveness, is you're forgiving, you're letting go your right to take vengeance. And he's going, okay, you let that go. You let the right of vengeance go from you. Therefore, I will let my right of vengeance against you be set free also. And I won't hold it against you. Christ will forgive me of my sin. And even if there's something that just eats my toast every day about that person, it is just a sin like any other failure. And like we talked about this morning's service, we need to learn to say, God, I'm going to trust you to ever so gently get me through this situation so that I can go on and live my life without stress and without ulcers and without all this hating and bringing it up and being in constant turmoil. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and help me to let it go and move on, and you deal with those people however you need to deal with them. If possible, get them into heaven on the far side and bless them richly while they're over there, and keep them so busy that they'll be there for millennial, and I will be over here in my little mud hut just as happy as... A lot of people don't realize that having forgiveness and giving somebody doesn't necessitate the foregoing of anger. There's people, you can have an anger against someone because righteous anger. You can have righteous anger and still forgive them. I am not going to do it, but it is wrong what happened. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down upon thy wrath. In other words, deal with it as soon as you can. There are times that we are angry because of the statement, be angry and sin not. It's that idea of holding on to the anger and keeping it constantly brooding over it and all this kind of stuff and keeping the anger going. We can feel anger. Anger can flare up. But that is different from forgiveness. I can forgive people and say I don't wish them harm, but when I do see them, there's that instant, oh God, I'm still angry. I forgive them. I'm not going to take vengeance, but it still smokes my bacon that they're getting away with it. But that's helped me to let go of that and see my anger issue is different from my forgiveness issue. I have forgiven them, and I'm not going to seek revenge, but the anger issue is something that's in me. It flares up, and then I'm supposed to deal with it and try to get it done before the sun sets. So, unforgiveness is a sin just like anything else, and it will not keep us out of heaven because we realize we're sinners and we fall short, even in this area. But forgiveness is actually the idea of letting go of our right to vengeance, letting go of that mean streak that we have. He will help us to do that, and He will help us to deal with the anger issue also. But I think a lot of people have anger against somebody, and they don't realize that there is that slight difference in there, and they need to adjust it over so that they can live their life. And what I have learned, and I don't know who spoke this to me or if I read it someplace, they said a lot of times, and this is true, God, I am so that right now all I can do is say the words, I forgive them. I do not mean it. I am still angry. I'm still hurt. And I would still like to do it, but I'm not going to do it. So I've chosen. And all I can say right now is, God, I forgive them. And when I see them, God, I forgive them. And as we repeat this and say the things that God says to us, forgive them of their sins, then we can forgive them. And as we say it more and more, it takes root in our heart and it causes us to reflect. Remember, it's the decisions we make, and we make this decision to seek God and His help to forgive us. And sometimes the only thing we can do is just say the words and let Him create within our heart the true meaning of what we just said. Shall we pray then? Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank You. Help us to find forgiveness in our heart. Help us to let things go and let the other person have to deal with the problems that they've created in their life. Give them mercy. Bring them to repentance, if at all possible. But Father, bless and keep them far away from us and protect us from the people that have chosen to do us wrong. Father, we want the grace of Christ in our life. And if we do them a good turn, we ask that it would be used to actually cause them to see the truth of Christ and to repent so that there'll be less evil in this world. Father, but at the same time, there's enough evil in the world, like with Dwight Anderson. He's got diseases. And Father, that was not in the original blueprint when You made this world. So we ask that You would bless him. Be with him, be with the family. Father, I don't know how to pray about this, but we ask that You would secure his salvation and make sure that he is saved and bring people into his life that can witness to him. Father, we do ask that you would continue to be with the doctors and the nurses that will be dealing with him. And the same with Sean and Chris. Help the doctors and nurses do what's absolutely best for them and give them a quick recovery as quick as possible. If you made it miraculous, we would brag about you a lot. But also, we thank you that Sherry is doing all right. We ask that it would continue that way with her. And Carrie's got some problems with employment. So get her to a better place, Father. It may seem like a problem now, but use this to make it, turn it into a promotion or somehow turn this into a position where she has a happier life because of this. Help her to trust and help the rest of us to trust with her that you're there for her and with for Sherry and everybody else and all the people on the prayer request list that are on there this morning and the people we don't even know about. Be with them also, Father, and encourage them. Speak to them. We thank you that you brought so many different people to church this morning. Help us to be a witness to those people and bring them to a saving grace of Jesus Christ. Just because they attended. It doesn't have to continually be with us, but whatever it takes, Lord, so that Jesus is glorified. Lead, guide, and direct our country, especially, boy, it looks like last times. Teach us what we should be doing also in these days and keep our missionaries safe. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.